were rehearsing with Louis Abbott from Admiral Fallow, because he is going to drum for us on our US leg of the tour, or North American leg of the tour, because Lee, our drummer, he's not going to come to the States and Canada, Mexico. So Louis is going to come. So we're kind of rehearsing with Louis and with Lee. So we're doing double rehearsals with two drummers.
Maybe not a bad setup at some point. You could do, I'm trying to think, if there are a few bands over time who have done the double drummer setup, it would definitely be an interesting change, I think, from your sound to have two.
Have two at the same time.
No, I know. I'm just saying that, you know, you could theoretically do that at some point. I'm
trying to think which bands I've seen with that. I've definitely seen bands play with more than one drummer. I don't think we need it in our setup.
It might be a little heavy for a bit much. Camera obscura,
yeah.
I think. Yeah. It must be an interesting process, though, is there a way in which it's kind of... you're kind of relearning your songs at the same time, teaching them to somebody from the start?
Kind of, but Louis is very professional, so he just charts all the songs and he just turns up and he knows how to do them. So, yeah. I guess, though, a lot of the time when you play... Well, I was thinking about this, because a lot of the time... if the speed isn't quite there or something, or I notice the speed is different from how we would normally play it with Lee, I have to think, well, Louis's probably been listening to the records and he knows exactly what the speed is, whereas I don't listen to the records, I just have an idea in my head. And, you know, we've been playing some of the songs for so long that I actually have forgotten what the speeds are, and we just play them the way we play them. So, yeah, you're right. It is you can sort of relearn if you...
I talked to a lot of musicians about how their relationships to songs change over time, and obviously there are cases of artists who make a very concerted effort to evolve their songs, but it sounds like there's also just kind of a natural evolution that happens over time.
Yeah, I mean, I think some of the songs that we've been playing are so old that, you know, the muscle memory's there and you just don't really need to think about it so much. But then saying that, we haven't played them for 8 years or something in a regular way, you know, the way we used to. So actually, I must confess that I'm finding it a little bit harder for the new songs to sink in, because of course you write the songs and you know how to play them when you record, because you're recording them and we do it live, but then there's a gap. And then you've got to relearn them again. And I think because we don't spend every day together practicing, the muscle memory is, maybe it's because I'm getting on, it's harder for me for them to sink in. But the old stuff, you know, if I just have a little faith, it's in there, you know, it's in there somewhere. You just have to dig it out.
In the earlier days, were you practicing every day?
Not every day, but there was a period when the group were all full-time musicians and, you know, we were really in the thick of it. You know, we were either on tour or rehearsing for a tour, or, you know, writing songs or practicing the songs to record. And we were just, you know, a bit more on it. And we have not played that much as a group, apart from making this album, over the last, you know, 7 years or so. The last record we made was 10 years ago, previous to this new one. So there would have been a time when we would have, not every day, but certainly 3 times a week or something.
When you are touring on the regular, and when the band is your full-time job, that gives the songs a chance to evolve prior to actually recording them.
We were never really a band that would work up a song and play it live before it was recorded. we just didn't really do that. We weren't really much of a jammy band, you know, like jam, too uptight and conservative for that kind of thing. I think we just would do it in, right, we need to make a record, so here's a bunch of songs, let's, you know, work on them. But we'd never really, we might have tried the odd song out, but it would probably have been recorded first before we'd play it live.
It sounds like, from interviews that I've listened to and read, that that writing comes in fits and starts for you, that there are definitely periods that are much more fruitful than others.
Yeah, I mean, I don't know what the norm is anymore, because nothing feels very normal at the minute. You know, we've not been doing this for a while. Yeah, we haven't made a record in 10 years, but I've made another record and I have continued to write songs. You know, but yeah, fits and starts. I mean, sometimes, certainly in the last 10 years since becoming a parent, I haven't been able to just concentrate on myself. You know, my life hasn't been just mine. There's another focus there. So certainly when it comes to songwriting, I don't maybe have had the time or the energy to, you know, put the work in. I might have had the inspiration in places, you know, I might have had that certainly, but the time that I think it takes, sometimes I feel like I'm the sort of person that likes to have a lot of time on my own to do that. Yeah, it's not really a thing when you've got a child needing all the things.
It makes sense, and it didn't even occur to me that the time of those two things match up. But this, I don't have kids, but I've got a lot of friends who have kids, and time passes differently when there are children involved, yeah. I've noticed. And when you think about, on the flip side of that, 10 years maybe in some ways doesn't feel like a long time. And then you realize, like, oh, I've created this human. And now they're, like, you know,
10.
At this stage in life. And it's wild happen in a decade.
It is wild. It's wild to think that it was 10 years ago that we brought our record out, that much time has actually passed. Because in some ways it just doesn't feel like, it's not like we didn't do anything. We still, I felt very busy. I haven't felt like particularly like I took a big break, but of course in a way we did, you know, we did take a big break.
Initial hiatus with the band was started for different reasons, but I mean, there is a way in which, actually, let me retake that. One of the things that I've heard from a lot of parents, especially of younger children, is those who are in bands and who tour, that like that there is this benefit of the pandemic, that I hear from all these people who tell me that, you know, because their life is being on tour so much, that maybe they weren't like there for their children in the way that they would have liked to have been. And the pandemic forced that. But it sounds like this was also, whether intentionally or not, an opportunity for you to be there every day in a way you might not have if you were in a really active band.
I think it's impossible for me to think about it being any other way than how it was, because not only obviously did we, some of us have children in the last 10 years, you know, Gavin and Kenny and I all are we've got, those two have got two kids each and I've got one, but we've all got a boy that's around 10 or 11, they're all the same age. But of course, Katie passing away as well was really the thing that, I suppose, force the hiatus. But who knows? It might also, you know, it might have been difficult anyway with small children. But having said that, we've all done some touring when small children were around. You know, I did a tour 4 years ago with Danny Coughlin. You know, I made a record with Crybaby's Danny Coughlin, and him and I went away in two stints of, you know, North American tours. And we went to Europe and we went to the UK. You know, we did the UK. So I have done it. And I think my kid was like six then. And that was probably, I was talking to him about that the other day, actually, because, you know, I like to sort of throw it in and maybe a drive to school or whatever. Remember, I'm going away soon, and it might seem like a long time, because I'm actually, personally, I'm actually feeling quite anxious about it, or quite nervous about that, the length of time, you know, that I'll be away. And but he seems to be quite cool with it and sort of says, oh, like, yeah, it'll be fine, you know, it's not like I'm a baby or something like that. But I do remember, I think it was difficult when he was six and I was away for that length of time. I think it'll be easier. I mean, the thing is, when you're away, you're busy, so your mind is on the job. And when you're in the moment, you're focused, and it'll be the same for him. You know, there'll be it's a bit of a pull, though. You know, there's a sort of, you want to do what you do, which is make records and go on tour, but you also have this life that requires you to be around. You're torn. Oh, well, I'm torn by it. It's not easy to make the decision to go, but it's not because for lack of desire or want to do your job. I desperately want to be able to do my job. I wish I could do my job more, you know, do more of it. So it's like, is it sort of maybe, I'm not saying it's not conducive to have children and to live this life. It is. People can make it work. And of course, you know, kids are pretty resilient. They get on, they're going to, as long as they're fed and watered and put out to school with a, you know, some clothes on their back, they'll be fine. It will be fine. But it's, yeah.
And not to be, you know, super corny about it, but there are certain things that if you miss, you can't get back. And you can always, you know, as long as your body is still able, you can always keep touring in the future.
Yeah, we'll see. I hope so. You know, touring is a big deal, though, isn't it? It's a bit of a big operation, you know. Logistically, this band will find it difficult. You know, we're not all full-time musicians sort of sitting around, you know, waiting to do that. Some people have pursued other careers and they're juggling those other jobs with this job again and family life, and everybody wants to do it and we want it all. It's just working out how to get it all, how to do it all, you know.
Was that ever a thought for you that maybe it's time to look into also doing something else, not to replace this outright, but, you know, another chapter for you?
I mean, I think I'm a bit of a one-trick pony, to be honest. I think I like the idea of doing something else. It's just that nothing else is. I've never been pushed to go anywhere else in a big way. You know, I'm sort of hanging on for dear life to this, in a way. Who knows? I mean, I'm 50 in a few months. It's never too late to start something, but you'd need to have the desire to start something, and I'm a bit sort of all or nothing, I think, in some ways, you know?
I am as well. I understand that.
Yeah, and I'd like to be able to maybe have another income or something, or interest, but I just haven't found anything that I like as much.
you're married to a musician, so there isn't that external pressure, or at least there's that built-in understanding of what it is you do.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, there's plenty of understanding, and I've always done this, so there's no problems with that. It's just, it's a fun thing to do, but everybody knows that it's gotten a bit harder, financially. It's quite a big feat to finance a tour and do the thing and, make some money from it, or break even, or whatever it is. It's a big operation, but I think the main thing is there's will to and desire to go on the road and to have made this rec and have the opportunity to go and play to people again is not really anything that we've taken for granted, because we almost, I guess, it felt like we kind of lost that. It was never a given that we would do this, really. It wasn't not on the cards, but it wasn't definitely on the cards. So I think for us, it's special to, it means a lot, It's not just, like back in the day when, oh, right, we've done that tour and then we're going on this tour and then we're doing that, and you're just in the thing, getting on with it. It's not, it doesn't really feel like that. This feels very separate and special. A special time.
Like anything else one does for a living, there are times when it does feel like a job. Prior to that, to the hiatus, were there points where it, where it wasn't necessarily a given that it was going to keep happening?
I don't know. It's hard to say. I think I could personally admit that probably around, before making Desire Lines, I was a bit burned out, to be honest. I was a bit burned out. And I think that's natural. Of course, you need time to recharge the batteries. It might just have been that we needed some time out, but obviously there were things that happened that dictated what we did next. So I don't know, but yeah, I'm not sure. Hard to say.
It's a tricky line to walk in the early days of... I mean, obviously, when you're young, when you're in your 20s, you've got a lot more energy to keep going. But even then, you need breaks. But it's difficult to know if and when to take one, because you start building this momentum that you want to keep up.
Yeah, I think pre-Desire Lines, there was no question of stopping or taking a break. We were just getting on with it. We were enjoying it enough. But yeah, you get sort of caught up, and before you know it, you're doing the thing that you want, that you set out to do, which was be a full-time musician, that somebody who tours and gets the opportunity to make records and travels the world, and you're in it. And that is I can see that is a really precious thing. It's a really special a privilege to be able to do that. I'm not saying I didn't appreciate it then. I could appreciate it, but when you think that you might not do that, you really see it for what it is, And I think that took me. Yeah, that took the past 7 years or whatever to really get it. The penny dropped,
I was reading another interview that you did where you were discussing the time off, and it sounds like there was also, that in a certain sense, maybe it was taken for granted that the band would happen again. It seemed not necessarily you didn't know when it would come back together, but it felt like something that you were going to do again.
I think so. I mean, there was never a, we didn't break up. We never said, oh, right, I've had enough of this. It was circumstance dictated. what happened, and it wasn't really within our control in a way. So I think there was probably always the chance that we would make a record again. It was just something we never really talked about a lot. We just didn't. We had other, you know, there were other more important things happening. And I think when we, you know, when we got asked to play the Boaty Weekend or the Bell and Sebastian curated festival, it was on a sort of cruise ship from Barcelona to Sardinia. We hadn't played together for years, and we got together, and it really, it felt, to me, it felt like I was as excited as I was in the beginning. You know, I was really sort of turned on to it, you know, very sort of, I felt very alive again. I realised how much I'd missed it. You know, it inspired me to write songs. It felt like a new chance or something, or an opportunity to sort of do it better or something in a way, or appreciate it more, or to be less scared of it, or be a bit more confident about it, or enjoy it more, or don't be so serious about it, you know, that kind of thing. It was lots of positivity, and we did. We did it. You know, we got on.
Was the idea, was the concern that, you know, after Carrie died, that it would almost be painful to be to do this again?
Definitely, definitely. I mean, absolutely. The thing was different. It changed forever, you know. It wasn't the same. Some bands have, many other bands have lost band members, and, you know, they pick up and they get on and they...
And people had been, you know, in and out of the band for other reasons too.
Yeah. Yeah, they had, and previously, but the core, you know, the most of the work that was done in this group were, you know, us, the five of us, and so yeah, it was. I think there was certainly a period where there was no appetite for it, but things change, you know. Grief is a thing that changes, and you change. You know, you feel one thing one day and you feel another thing another day. And that's healthy and not so surprising. Not so surprising that I would want to write songs as I had done for the past 20 years. You know, it's kind of my identity. And I think that, you know, I was very aware that I might be losing that identity, or my identity, if I didn't get on with it.
It's an identity, but it's also, whether consciously or unconsciously, a way of processing the world. And this was something that very much needed to be processed.
Exactly, exactly. And the way that I've processed the world is by writing songs about things. And so... this, what happened was just the same, really, you know?
Yeah.
Something else that was meaningful and needed to, be processed and dealt with and taken care of, and a corner needed to be turned.
A subject matter that's not necessarily out of place with the songs you write. I mean, because, you know, certainly you're not afraid of being melancholy on record.
No, I'm not. I had a chat the other night with, I did another interview, we were talking about that, about, you know, whether you feel scared to be so I don't know if the word's brutal or open or
vulnerable.
Yeah, vulnerable. And I think that I'm not scared to be that. Actually, I'm not saying I'm used to it. I'm not brazen. You know, it's not with a sort of trepidation sometimes, or a little bit of fear that, you know, you write a song that, you know, where you can be perceived to be vulnerable or sad or whatever. I'm not scared of that. I think that that's, I just don't want to think about it too much. I don't want to, you know, censor myself particularly, or I'm not writing concept records, you know, I'm just sort of, and I'm not always spilling my guts all over the page, but sometimes I am, and I don't mind that, you know. Yeah.
You described getting close to burnout. What did that look like? How was that manifesting itself at that point?
I think there was just a sort of, when we made Desire Lines, Kerry had already been diagnosed, and we'd sort of kept that under wraps, and we didn't really talk about it. I don't mean within ourselves, we talked about it, but we didn't really make a press statement or, you know, tell the greater world. We sort of dealt with it in a very British way or something, where we just sort of, you know, stiff upper lip, well, let's just get on with this, you know, this will be, well, we don't need to talk about our feelings, you know. And I think that was kind of remarkable when I think about it. I sometimes think about it and think, why did we do that? You know, was it to protect ourselves? Was it to protect Kerry? Did it protect her? Was that healthy? I don't know. But I think that record was quite a difficult record to write, you know. There were more important things happening. I found it quite laborious or something, you know, writing some of those songs, and it wasn't an easy record to write. It wasn't an easy period. And maybe that was partly burnout as well. Just, you know, needing a bit of a change or a break. Yeah.
How did that manifest itself on the record?
Well, I mean, I think it's quite a sort of miserable, somber sounding record. I mean, don't get me wrong, you know, we had a good experience, you know, we documented a thing, you know, we did as good a job as we'd done in any other records. You know, we tried our best, and of course working with Tucker Martin was a great experience. You know, Tucker was a champion of ours, and he's a great producer, and he's got a great studio, and it was, you know, kind of fun going to Portland and taking ourselves off there. But, you know, in the background, I think on a personal level, there was a lot going on. You know, there was a lot of personal issues and people maybe not feeling at their best for whatever reasons, you know. I just think, I can only speak for myself, but I would say my thoughts about that time was that it was quite a dark time, I think, in the band's history, I think, you know. And
how could it not be, right?
Exactly. And Portland was like, I remember somebody saying, it might have been me, God, just as well we're Glaswegians, you know, because we're used to this weather. It rains all the time in Portland. It's grey. I mean, I don't mind that because I'm used to it. I think if we had come from maybe the southeast of England or something and gone to Portland in December and January, we might have been going, whoa, what are we doing here? It's miserable. But Portland is not miserable. I'm very fond of it. But the weather is quite like Glasgow weather, actually. So it was just it was making a record in winter time as well, you know. It was sort of short windows of daylight, you know, going into studio first thing in the morning when it's dark, coming out when it's dark. It adds to the mood, you know. I think it adds to the vibe.
How much of that record, like, actually coming out was a result of Kerry really wanting to push through everything?
Well, she did want to push through it, and, you know, she went into remission, and that's how we managed to go and make the record. You know, she started to get a little bit better. And so we did, you know, as soon as she was able to do that, we did that, and we went, and then of course we couldn't quite tour that record the way we'd toured previous records because she got sick again. We did a little bit of touring, but not so much.
You describe having been away from it as this opportunity to reconnect and re-engage and really appreciate things that, you know, at some point, invariably, people will take for granted. But for a lot of people, experiencing death up close also has that impact of realizing, you know, how precious life can be and how important it is to do the things that you want to do when you can do them.
Absolutely. I mean, I think that to live your life like that every day is probably kind of impossible. Well, for me anyway, you know.
Probably very tiring, I would imagine.
Exactly. You'd be knackered within 3 days. So that's not really that possible, I don't think. But it certainly does make you, you know, stop and think when you lose people that you love, or when people's lives are cut short, you know, the what could have been and all of that. But mainly, I think it's important to carry on. And, you know, Kerry wanted us to make another record, which, you know, at the time was the last thing that anybody wanted to think about, but it was the right thing to do, you know. And I think there is a lot of her. I think we sort of took her with us, to be honest. I feel like we have kept her close in a way, you know.
When you say it was the right thing to do, what do you mean?
I mean, to, you know, to be so overcome with grief, or, you know, to have, for instance, made the decision that the band should split up, or, well, we can't make another record without her, or, well, that's us, you know. I think those decisions are big decisions, and they can be made sometimes with the right intention, but it's not necessarily the best thing. You know, we took our time to heal, And we moved on. You've got to move on, haven't you? You've got to get up every day and take your, well, be grateful for what you've got, you know. Be grateful for your life and for your experiences. And I feel like I'm not saying I've never been able to do that in my life before, but I've certainly felt that, you know, in the past few years. With this particular opportunity to make music and to carry on and have this chance to reconnect with fans. And, you know, you realise all of a sudden you're a band that have been together for 25 years or something, and that you're part of people's lives and you mean something to folk, you know, and they mean something to you. And, you know, we've been whizzing around the world for the past 20 years, but when you stop, you sort of think, ah, actually, it all makes sense now.
There's no time to reflect if you're constantly moving.
Not really. And I mean, I am somebody that does reflect a lot, maybe in a personal way, but in terms of the group, you know, and the band and what we've done together and what it's meant to us, it's meant everything to me. It's what I've done with my life.
We alluded to this a little bit earlier, but you're not old, but we're all getting older, and it sounds like it's a bit of an ordeal to really orchestrate not only just touring, but getting that group of people back together to put out an album. And for that reason, that's even more reason to take these things seriously and to really appreciate those moments when they come by. And I don't know, you know, realize that everyone can live really long lives, but there's still a finite amount of time that you've got left to really do this thing.
Well, yeah. I mean, it's logistically an absolute nightmare to be in this group, frankly.
Bands that have been around a while, that's what happens.
It is, and it's just part of growing up and having kids, and, you know, our little band family is growing, arms and legs, literally, and, you know, there's all sorts of things that we have to consider, and but there's a will for us to get in a room and, you know, try to have a good time. I'm interested only in, you know, doing it if we're having a good time, you know, if we're enjoying it, if it's a headache and there's, you know, if it becomes too difficult, then it's not really good for anybody's mental health when that kind of thing happens. But at the minute, you know, the record we made, it wasn't an easy record to make because we started making it before COVID happened, and we had to battle through that as well. That was a bloody nightmare, you know. Of course, it was a nightmare for everybody in the world, but in a sort of personal way, it was difficult for us because it was going to be a tall order to make the record in the first place. And, you know, and then when that happened, it got harder, but we managed it. And I sometimes think, I can't believe we did that. You know, we really slogged our guts out to try and to accomplish that, you know. And the producer worked really hard. There was a lot of flying in and out of different countries and, you know, grasping hours. You know, we're rehearsing at times that we hadn't rehearsed in for years, and, you know, people taking their, being away from their kids and their families, and I don't know, it was hard fought for, but we had a brilliant time, and we've made a record that we're happy with, and I think we've done a good job. I don't know if that makes me sound a bit big-headed, but
I was thinking about that, and this is definitely not a story that's unique to you, especially not after the last 4 years, but of really getting to that point where you've reconnected with this thing, you've built up this momentum, you're really excited to do it, and then bam.
Yeah, I know. But you know, it's like that being in a band anyway. There's always something, you know, like you get on stage at Benicassim and the keyboards aren't working, it's just like, oh, here we go again. Or, you
it's
know.
Not quite a global pandemic, maybe on a smaller scale.
In a smaller scale, of course, but my point is, things will always be there, you know, to get in your way, and you just got to get through it, you know, you just got to push through.
How did you maintain a cohesive set of songs, a cohesive album, in spite of the fact that it was essentially like split in two?
I don't know if I feel like it was split in two exactly, to be honest, because I had enough songs to get started with. You know, songs were being written as this time I felt like we should just get started straight away. You know, the songs started to come around about the time we played the Boaty Weekender, and then it just started to come after that. And it was around about that time that I decided, or I suggested, I think I'm going to have enough songs to make a record, and I think some of the songs they've got legs, and, you know, should we just get started? And we got in touch with Yari Hapaline, the producer, just to say, you know, Yari, I think we want to make a record, and I think we'd like you to come and hold our hand and help us make this record. And so I just sent him what I've got, you know, and that's how he works. He wants to hear the songs, you know, in whatever format you've got them, in the basic sense, and then he can hear whether they're any good or not. As the case might be.
He sounds like someone who's going to be very honest about
that.
He's
very honest. He'd definitely tell you if he thinks that your songs are a load of rubbish. You know.
Have you ever felt so strongly about one that you fought him on that?
Trying to think. I mean, we did have a lot of... I mean, previously we made two other albums with him. There were situations, shall we say, where somebody maybe didn't like a thing and he did, or vice versa. And he will stand his ground, but he's never, you know, he's not like... He's never going to be unkind about it or make you do something against your will, but he is quite often right, and I know that about him. And I suppose with this record, the song that's coming to mind is Big Love. Everybody was a bit confused by what was going on. You know, we'd written this song and I think it took a few different turns, you know, it changed a lot. And it's quite often songs will change. You know, we might bust them and then we might do it in a different style or something, then we end up coming back to the original thing or whatever. But this thing started, you know, taking on this kind of folky type thing. And I think it was some of us were just going, I don't know what's happening here. And, you know, what is this song? what is this? Yeah, what's going on here? This is weird. Or are people going to like this? Are the kids into this? Do we sound like do we sound ancient? Are we really uncool? Somebody tell me. You know, is this relevant, this music? What is it? You know, and at the end of the day, he was really into that song. And so he sent me a little sarcastic text message when, you know, Big Love was released as a single, because he was going, ah, cool, I see, yeah. You know, and he was basically saying, I told you. Yeah.
You were a bit tongue-in-cheek when you were saying it, but do you consider relevancy in that process?
Not really. I mean, I don't want to be dismissive. I don't want to sound like I'm not taking this seriously. You know, we're serious. We try our best. That's as serious as we get. We try our best, and we try our best to please ourselves individually and each other. And, you know, we try to make something beautiful, you know, and we try to make something that makes us feel stuff and gives us feelings. And that's really all we've ever done. When you've been away, I guess you think, oh, you know, you're out of contract, you don't have a record label, you're sort of thinking, oh, when did we last make that record? Oh, 10 years ago. All right, so is anybody going to want to put this record out? You know, we're not the kind of people that assume that we're going to be...
Part of not taking things for granted is not taking for granted the fact that people are wanting what you're putting into the world.
Exactly, exactly. So we're quite pleased with how it's been received so far, you know. Here we are.
One of the things that you said about the creation of this record that really rang true to me and my own experiences in life is trying to micromanage less and trying to be less of a control freak.
Oh, I'm totally into that. that's me every day trying to be less of a control freak. Yeah, I think it is hard, but I think it's important to loosen up, and it's important to, you know, just take it easy, you know. Yeah.
Another thing, and that also rang true to me, and this is a topic I love talking about, is when you get to these points in your life and you look at the things that you always take for granted, the way of doing things that you always take for granted. I like talking to people about this as it relates to, you know, things not being punk enough, or when selling out was still an idea. But there's all these little processes that we put in our life, and we just do the same. We do things the same way over and over again, and really don't have the chance to sit and re-examine them. But I think that's an important part of getting older.
Yeah, I think it is. I mean, there isn't an awful lot of time to sit about examining how you do things and how you should change. And, you know, I mean, I think that I tend to want to just in general be a nicer person or something the next day, or be a bit more patient, or be a better listener, or, you know, be kinder or something like that. I think that I'm not the sort of person that, you know, I've been doing the same thing since I was about 23, so I'm not the sort of person that re-examines and really changes, you know. But I'm fine with that. I think I used to have maybe an issue with that, and I used to feel, oh, I'm not good enough because I'm just doing this all the time, and I'm not doing this, that, and the next. But actually, I've kind of grown into myself a bit. I guess that's what they say it happens, isn't it? That you reach an age and you just have to learn to kind of be a bit kinder to yourself.
I mean, of course, and I always find it fascinating talking, especially to musicians who have effectively been doing the same thing with their life since they were, you know, in their late teens or early 20s. But the flip side of that is you achieved exactly the thing that you've wanted to do early on. I mean, that's why people change, is because they often don't get to do what they want to do.
Yeah, and I think it's important to remember that, because sometimes, don't get me wrong, sometimes I'm absolutely almost banging my head off the wall going, what have I done this for? You know, why didn't I get that job in the bank?
What have I done with my life?
Yeah, I do. Everybody says that probably, and I see it and I think, oh, this is, oh, it's too hard, or it's logistically a nightmare, and I've got moan about it all the time, you know, to the point where I'm like, oh, this is like a mental illness I've got. I just can't, you know. It's like, you know, in The Sopranos, we're like, I tried to get out, but it brought me back in. It's like that sometimes, you know. And
keep pulling me back in.
Totally, keep pulling me back in. Oh, but then, and then I think, wait a minute. When I was 19 years of age, and I didn't want to get that job in the bank, and I wanted to say to everybody, I'm going to be in a band and I'm going to try and be a songwriter, you know. Well, yeah, it happened, didn't it? So I need to remind myself that more often, maybe.
Time to say